Okay, now what I'm going to do, the bio that you sent her and about, you know, you're working with the campaign and doing the kind of sign stuff and everything, you know, I'll just go ahead and read this. I'll save us a bunch of time. The other thing is that what we're doing with the Love Bus is kind of the same thing, but there are new materials and new techniques now. We have a 100-watt laser that cuts out the images for us to be able to just do the spray paint really fast, and we found this new poly blah, blah, blah material that kicks the crap out of Tyvek. And this stuff, you can put it up, you know, no grommets, put a hole in it on a chain link and a hurricane, and it doesn't come down. It's the stuff that you make sandbags out of. And we found a supplier from Inland Plastics in, south of Chicago. And it's just awesome. And you get different colors, and we can do the projector thing. Again, the waterproof wall board that we're using. I mean, I'm ready to do some signs and do some whip ass here in Arizona. And so this is...
That's awesome.
We have a group in East Valley near Santan out there that's it's way to hell East Valley. But we had our Christmas party there, and they got a group of people that wants to make signs and know how to do them. We'll just have a big woo-hoo there. But if you guys are ready... You know, we have the equipment, the people, the technology to do some major Arizona ass whipping. I just want to make sure that, you know, it's something that we can do to help. And a lot of the legal stuff, I'm glad, you know, get a government number, get some press. But, I mean, you know, I don't trust their crap. I just tell you that right there. But, all right, we're going to talk about it. I'll start off by reading your thing, and then we'll be right back. Here we go.
Live. From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, unafeared here and declare your independence from me, Ernest Hancock, here in the desert west of Phoenix, doing the best we can this internet thing. You know, I've been watching a bunch of Starlink videos. Everybody's getting like 100 megabytes up, down, kind of, man, ooh, it's a happening. All right, Donna and I, when we first started doing the Lovolution, we've been activists since the late 80s. I mean, you know, I've been doing this 30 years. And I tell you, you know, the biggest thing is who inspires me. And then we do our best to inspire others. This is why we're doing the Love Bus Liberty Tour, because we know what's going to happen. What always happens. People like, you can do that? Is that easy? And you didn't get shot? I mean, you know, yet. But we'll do that. Well, Rachel Catherine was a young woman back in the day that got inspired by our activities in 07 and 08. Rachel Catherine, I started questioning the government in my early 20s when they invaded Iraq after 9/11. I started my activism by attending anti-war rallies and being outspoken against the war on terror. I got fully involved in activism in 2007. And I campaigned for Ron Paul in 2008 and in 12 in Ohio. I was a state coordinator for We the People Foundation's Continental Congress 2009. I worked with the We Are Change Ohio in this time frame as well. We did things such as host a conference with Dr. Tenpenny, confront politicians, went to Bilderberg and G20. Although I did not make it to G20 personally, did a lot of support work for it. I follow a libertarian voluntarist philosophy and believe in free markets, sound money, and taxation is theft. I have long known of election fraud and the criminal activities of the government, and the only thing that continues to surprise me is the lack of people standing up against them. I am one of the founders of Arizona Stands United and one of the many volunteers working with Arizona Stands United to challenge the new normal, unite concerned citizens, and educate through activism. Really? All right. It's ArizonaStandsUnited.org. Our mission and goal at Arizona Stands United is to file a federal lawsuit challenging the governor's declaration of state of emergency, as well as file other state and local lawsuits to restore our freedoms by reversing mask mandates, social distancing, shutdowns, and more. We will reclaim Arizona and educate the people about the reality of COVID-19 with data-driven science, as well as ensure our constitutional rights are being honored. We are freedom-loving Arizonans who insist our elected leaders be held accountable and be shown they cannot act with impunity for their tyrannical actions. We are an all-volunteer organization of committed patriots who are passionate about restoring our constitutional rights and freedoms. We take our convictions and turn them into action. Think you would be a good fit? Get in touch for more information at ArizonaStandsUnited.org. Rachel, welcome to the show. This is awesome. And you just know that there's going to be groups and organizations like this. But, you know, my thing is, I'm like, you know, I'm all for getting government numbers. You know, get that government number. You know, the press will cover it, and they'll know you're there, and you can go educate the people and give them what for. But counting on the system to, you know, restore our rights and some judge slap themselves on the head like they could have had a V8 and go, oh, well, as long as you explained it right, well, you're free now, you know? So I'm. What is your real intent, goal, and how you see this working out over the coming months?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I agree with you. You mentioned the Continental Congress 2009. So that was a big effort that I was involved in back in the day. Bob Schultz, Michael Badnarik. There were some others involved. Gary Franchi helped out on that.
I went to Jekyll Island with the whole thing. I knew Bob Schultz, and it is, yep. So I know all about it.
Yeah. But. Awesome. So what we did is, you know, we went to the government with all of these tyrannical actions, unconstitutional actions that they were doing, and we offered them to provide us remedy. And we opened that line of communication through a lawsuit, basically saying, you guys are doing a whole bunch of tyrannical, unconstitutional stuff. You're ignoring us. You're not offering us any solutions or any communication. So we're going to have a meeting amongst all the people in all the states of what we can do about it. So I have witnessed personally this sort of effort before for people to take back their rights and do it through the court system. And I agree with you that the court system is really corrupt. However, I also believe that we are in a new time right now where we have a lot of budding activists that weren't around before. And if we can try at least the kind of mainstream, I guess, protocol for going after these sort of things, going legally through the lawsuits, following the constitutional protocol, and seeing where it gets us, because I think a lot of people want to see that kind of action first. Like, oh, did you file a lawsuit? Did you try anything? And if then it is apparent to people, finally, that the government is illegitimate and completely corrupt, then perhaps we can start talking some other actions, just like the Continental Congress did in 2009, where they got together and had a meeting like, well, what are we going to do now?
Okay, now this is, you know, you're talking my language. You got to, you know, have a bunch of boxes to check off, and you check them off, and, you know, a bunch of times. I went through this. Now, what happened with Bob Schultz, what was going on, it was a, God, what did they call it? They called it a Continental Congress, or they had a meeting in Midwest somewhere, and it built up around the country. They elected different, I remember at our Freedom's Phoenix workshop, Bob Schultz came and we let him use our facility. I didn't have anything to do. I was like, you guys do your thing, man. You got here, you can have your elections, you can do it. They selected people from Arizona, they did their deal. You know, and Bob just was on my case to go to Jekyll Island. So I went to New Jersey, wherever it was. We got on the train, we took it down there. Jerry Griffin, you know, was on the train with us. And, you know, that's when I first started doing my first network. One of the network owners had me, you know, start doing a talk show host after they kept asking me questions on hours on the way. And we get to Jekyll Island, and then they, oh, sign this document. Ah, signing nothing. You know, I mean, you guys, I mean, you just reconstituted what, I'm going to go play croquet. But the thing is, and they had, you know, the Revolutionary garb and people walk around with wigs and big dresses and stuff. And I could see what they were doing. They wanted to get the nostalgia of and get it back to. Well, this is what happened. They had a petition in the First Amendment. It says the right to petition your government for redress. Well, that's what Bob was all about. We're going to petition. We got to get them to answer. And this is where you have this like 100,000 signature thing and the White House got to say something. I mean, this is where all this came from. So what happened is they went to court. They go in. They file in everything. They wanted them to answer about the income tax and all this other stuff. Well, this is what the government said. They go, all right. So you guys shut up and put an end to this. Yes, you do have a right to petition your government for a redress of grievance. But we have no obligation to answer. Peace. And it was over. And I go, did we learn our lesson yet? Obviously not. Okay. So now we're going through the and I understand, you know, it's, you had that Ron Paul Loveolution, and then Ron Paul endorsed in the 08 campaign Chuck Baldwin from the Constitutional Party for President, and we had the Revolution March in Washington, you know, I one of the MCs on that, and we go through it. So I've been down this road a bunch of times, but is this time different? Well, it's definitely more awareness of more people different, and we have young 20-something-year-olds that it's a decade later, and they're going, damn, what the hell? I'm still doing this? Then what? We're getting to the then what. Rachel's going to help us with this because Rachel Catherine is an interested individual pushing it right now. What are you going to do? We're going to find out when we come back.
Are you feeling confused about the current economic reports that dominate?
Okay, I get it, okay? But, I mean, we gotta go through this stuff. You know, again, everybody check off the box. But I am not under any illusion that they, you know, the man is going to go, oh, well, as long as you filed the right suit and you're explaining it to me right, well, we'll get right on that, you know? So, but if you're in it to where we're getting educated about the process and we did it and we tried and we're going through it, I'm all for that. Okay, just so that we understand, you know, you can deal with this or you can deal with that kind of thing to the government. If that's what you guys are doing, I'm in, you know. But to think that we're going to count on them doing it. Oh, I'm so disappointed and disillusioned now. I guess I got to quit. You know, no, this is just an awareness thing. This is a next step. You had your chance. Mm-hmm. This is what the Declaration of Independence was. We're just declaring. We're not asking. We're just telling you. We've done all this, you know, asking crap, you know. If we're getting through the asking thing just to check off that box, I'm hip, you know? So is that how you're feeling about it?
Yes, Ernie, especially personally. You know, I think that there's multiple avenues that people can take to assert their rights and to demand their freedom back. And I think this is just one thing that we can do to get a bunch of people rallied behind a cause. Even like the election fraud right now, that's not new to me. I've known that's been going on for a while. There's been black box voting who's exposing the voter machine fraud, dead people voting in elections, and all sorts of stuff for years. But finally, we have the masses aware of the problem. And they're like, well, let's do something about this. And I think that a lot of people, they're still needing a little bit more evidence that their government's illegitimate. You and I and a lot of other we're already convinced. We've already seen it. We already know. We know that they're not, like you said, just going to wake up and be like, oh, you know what? We're sorry we treaded on you. You filed the perfect lawsuit. Right. You did everything that, you know, you need to do to just get us to back down. It's not going to be that easy. However, we're creating a large network, which is why we like working. We're working with Ohio Stands Up, and they're working with Make Americans Free Again, and they're creating this large network of activists, and that's what we're also creating in Arizona, where we have all these different patriot groups, and we're all working together to where it's like, okay, we're going to try this action, and the results of this will hopefully be very eye-opening to the people. And then once the people's eyes are opened and they see, okay, we tried the protocols, we did what we're supposed to do or whatever, then now what? What are we going to do? Well, we're all together. We're all united. Do we have to overthrow some judges and get them out of office if they're unconstitutional? Like, do we just say, okay, enough's enough. We're just going to live our lives the way we want to live them and just not consider the government's ruling over us anymore? What are we going to do about it? And I think you have to have this network of people rallied behind something and joining together in order to get to that point. So in the end, that's more what I'm looking for, is that further action of let's all get together, let's rally around something, let's try these things. And the lawsuit that Pam Popper and Dr. Tom and Tom Renz has presented, it seems really good, right? Challenging the declaration of a state of emergency.
Yeah, when we come back,
however,
that's what we'll focus on, is the Pam. We had Pam on. You know, I've had, you know, Sherry Tenpenny on. I have Dr. Mikovits on every week for 5 years. Okay, I mean, I get it. You know, the thing is that I want to make sure that we understand, you know, what the real goal is here. Because if it's to create another organization, and the fees of I've gotten pay me money if we kind of will represent, you know, that's not going to work. That reason the Levolution was so effective is because it was decentralized. That was its power, you know. So it's a movement thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. All right, we're back with Rachel Catherine. This is, you know, we're of like mind here. I'm glad we got hooked up together here, because let me go ahead and summarize what you said and in off air and see if I'm right. Rachel knows from a young woman going through the Ron Paul, if you paid attention, you went through, you saw how corrupt the system was. Now, I ran for Secretary of State in 94 and 06, County Recorder in 08. You know, my whole thing, I haven't voted since 02 because I know better. I'm just not lying to myself. I'm not, I'll run, but I've no hell no, because I just know it's so freaking corrupt. Yeah, I feel dirty voting. So the thing is, though, is I'm like, you're still voting? But the election process, the politics, the education, going through, they don't like me running. They'd rather I just vote shut up. But I'm going, nope, 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 nope. It's all about general public opinion. And whatever you can do to help bring along the general public opinion that they suck, they're illegitimate, they're going to lie, cheat, and steal. All the psychopaths and sociopaths got little shiny badges, running around with guns and, you know, and military and law enforcement, whatever, and we're going to do what we want because we can. And that's as simple as it is. They get away with this stuff because they can. And the incentives are enormous amounts of money of being in charge of budgets, of we getting paid off and blackmailed and whatever the hell they do. And the point is that how do you combat that? Well, for me, it's becoming very clear that you create an infrastructure for them to get in charge of, they're going to get in charge of it. It's called regulatory capture in industry and so on. Well, they just do the same thing with our freedoms. So what Catherine and the groups and these different organizations are doing is pressing these issues, but there's two different ways to look at it. One, you think you're going to hit the right process and file the right paperwork and get the right number and do it right and have the right spokesperson and the right lawyer and the right and the right and the right and politician and the right one, and then all of a sudden it's going to get fixed. Or you have an education of the process for the people to go, yeah, you know, we tried everything. Now what? So that's what's coming. Now that Rachel understands that, I want to help. But I do not want to help to create another infrastructure, another organization, or someone that's at the top that you worship and do what they say, and what happens when they get compromised? What happens when they fail? What happens when it doesn't work? It doesn't matter to me. I'm not a tool for you. You are a tool for me as an individual. That's how I look at it. If I can be of help, you know, so that you become a more powerful tool, man, I'm all over it. The love bus is there. Let's make some signs. Sign everywhere, a sign. So this is, and Rachel knows this, you've gone through this before, the impact of signs. Mm-hmm. You bypass all their crap. All right, tell me about your sign experience and the impact of that, what you're trying to do, and then we'll get into Pam's lawsuit and what they're trying to do there, and then what's next. Go.
Yeah, so we also realize that the censorship is unreal right now. Another avenue of activism that I do is anti-child trafficking work, and Facebook has squashed all of the groups, and it's insane the amount of censorship. So if we go back to like what Ernie's talking about and doing signs and really getting out there in the public eye, putting those old school banners up, and I just love the Ron Paul Revolution. I was in Ohio at the time, and we were making just massive amounts of those signs and hanging them all up over Northeast Ohio. And it was so effective to just get that message out there, because you couldn't depend on the mainstream media back then. We know we can't rely on them now. We know that social media is censoring us. We know that you can't even go to the bar and have a conversation anymore, mingle with people, because they're taking that away. So I totally agree with this method of going out there, waking up the masses. And I saw, I think it was last month, that a lot of the anti-vaccine activists, they did a massive banner day where they were over overpasses, and they put up this big, huge sign all across the nation that said COVID-19 vaccine manufacturers are exempt from, but they're basically exempt from the consequences of if there are any side
liability.
Effects.
They have no liability.
Yes. Yeah, you know it. And it's awesome. And I really think that that's the way to go. I think that we've got to continue to find more outside the box, old school guerrilla ways of reaching people.
I have hundreds of yard signs ready to go. Hundreds of stands for them. 400 and something yards of 60-inch wide material. We have 100-watt lasers ready to get whatever you want. Image, put it, man, I'm your new best friend, Rachel. I mean, for someone like you that understands what this is, we have the new technology and ability to do that. Go to the street. So everybody wants to, I mean, we're still waiting on processing of going up on BitChute loaded in the process of the video that kind of, screw that crap. I can make a freaking sign, put over overpass, 100,000 people see it, woohoo, we going to rock and roll and whatnot. We got places to want to do it. We're waiting for the holidays, and January 6th, are you guys doing anything? You going to Washington, going to the state capitol? Is that a date you guys are paying attention to or what?
I am not aware of that date, personally.
No, it's a Donald Trump, secret, wait, we're going to do wait, and nothing happens. But anyway, so I'm not waiting anymore. Yeah, I never was. But, you know, this is, so the lawsuit that Pam is doing, Pam Popper, she has been an activist, you know, we got a, nutritionist working in the, anti-forced vaccine notions and potions from the crown in our flesh thing. And we've had her on, Dr. Sherry Tampin, we've had on several times. We definitely, Dr. Judy, we were good friends, and lots of people. But I'm telling you, and Tina Marie was on recently talking about, a lot of stuff. So I'm just going, I'm ready to help the holidays. We got through Thanksgiving and Christmas, and let's get some. We can get a place set up. You bring in some activists. But the main thing is what do you want it to say? What do you want your signs to say, Rachel?
Oh, boy. You know, I'm open to working on that with you, because I'm really just open for anybody who is down to network against this cause. It's bigger than a lawsuit. However, we are, when we're raising funds, that's what we're raising them for. And we have an attorney who is very pro-freedom. You had J.D. Ball on recently, and it's the same guy who was helping JD right before his case with the health department. And we're open to whatever wakes up people. We're really trying to unite people, so that's why we're Arizona Stands United. We're trying to get all these different patriot groups together and give everybody an umbrella to kind of work under, to get everybody focused on their freedoms. And we're endorsing actions like Sheriff Mack's organization. We're trying to get Maricopa County Sheriff on board with Sheriff Mack, and we're working with the local National Vaccine Information Center chapter, and we're doing many different things with many different groups.
Okay, this is the one thing.
Our main focus is the lawsuit,
The lawsuit is what? Pam's lawsuit says I have a lawsuit, and it does. We're going to find out when we come back in just a little bit here on Declare Your Independence. I'm in. I'm like your new best friend now. And they're like, woo, get some. I came here back to Arizona to get some. Hey, Mr. Robert Anderson, what's help to you about, Robert?
We're here.
We got, you have no idea what you stepped into, Rachel. I'll show you.
Free talk.
I love it.
I think it corrupts people over time. I mean,
okay, this is the thing. When we come back, and we'll talk about this. But I you know, blah, 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 raise money for this, and lawyers do that, kind of in the group, and they have, and then you wind up with a dozen people that got some group or a .com or .org site, and nothing ever gets done, or you sure as hell don't see it on the street. I'm like, screw that crap. You can do all that stuff, we'll promote it, and whatever you want to do, but I want people making signs. Not because I need it. We can make the sign, hundreds of signs ourselves. We're held that we got to place a big 28-foot dome here that, you know, wrapped around to break it from the wind. If we can, we make a bunch of signs. That's not where the power came from the Lovolution. The power came from them doing it themselves. We could do it a lot cheaper and easier a bunch of different ways, but that wasn't the point. The point was, is where, I'll give you an example. We go, Ron was in Las Vegas for a speaking thing or whatever, and there was a group of activists here called Property Six. They were a rock band. And they were all into Ron Paul because they saw Freedom of the Fascism, Aaron Russo's thing. And, man, they had our workshop where it started, and we just did rock and roll. So we go up to Vegas. They were playing some gig up there. And then we go, all right, who wants to make signs? Well, they had some guy, oh, we'll make signs. My driver's go do signs. So we all went up there. We made a bunch of signs, and then we wanted them to go put them up. You know, here's some, you know, zip ties, and here's the sign material and rock and roll. They came back like 20 minutes later, and they go, we couldn't find anywhere to put them. Right. So I'm going, they're afraid. Same thing happened in Southern California. They want to do sine waves all the time where they're in groups. And I'm going, no, 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 no. You need to go out and do it. Hell, do it 2 o'clock in the morning when nobody's out, and you can just stop your car in the middle of the street, walk over and put it up on a sign, and you're done. So I go, that was the problem. Mm-hmm. It was fear. They were afraid. So I go, so this rock band, they had 6 members, and they split up into about 3 different groups with these guys. They went out, came back a half hour later, all the signs were up. The empowerment that they felt by putting the signs up. When I would go to all these different meetups and stuff back in the day in 07, there would be all these, 100 people would be there, most of them the Republican blue hair or whatever. And then, you know, in the corner where they... other blue hair rock punker guys. So they're like, they're, oh, you're Ernie's here from the Lovolution and blah, blah, golf clap, you know, and I get up and I go, all right, who are the sign makers? Show me the sign makers. Well, the young guys in the back, you know, 10 people around some booth or something, they're going, well, we saw on YouTube, we thought you were making signs. You're not making signs. What the hell are we doing here? You know? And I'm going, I'll be right with you. Don't worry about it. We'll be over. Somebody got a driveway and I go get material and we go over and make a bunch of signs. Well, the thing was, is that the other people were thinking, well, you know, where are you going to get a permit to put up the sign to give the middle finger to the man? I mean, I'm like, what? I go, man, you guys don't get it. And what happened during the 07-08 campaign and 12, but it was very enlightening to see how much effort went in. And they take them down, we put more up. They take them down, we put more up. And the reason that we got away with it, because it was nonviolent. You weren't graffitiing anything. It was not any permanent, you know, defacing of nothing. It was just putting up a sign. They didn't like it. They take it down. We put more up. It was a game. We put them, make 300 signs a night every week on a Friday here, 3 locations around the valley competing how many signs they could make. They go up that Friday night, Saturday, and they were there at least until midday Monday. Didn't care. Monday traffic got all the signs. So this is what I'm looking to do here. Not because, you know, having a bunch of signs is cool and it's very inspiring. It's for them putting them up and eliminate the fear that they put into them. All right, we're coming back. Here we go.
It's graphics and more.
LRN. Now, you know, I'm blowing through the thing because I don't have a clock that's right time here. There it is.
You're listening to
this is the one thing. I wanted to make sure Rachel Leonard, and she knows this from doing this in Ohio. It is not about, you know, how many signs having up is cool. It's very inspiring, you know, and everything could suck it. But it's the people. They're afraid. You go into it. I've been so many times that they were like, but I'm a, they'll shoot me, or a satellite ion cannon to blaze and find me in facial recognition of some. What? I just put up a freaking sign. Well, a lot of people that we have, you know, like Rick Herp in Michigan, he loves this because he's got his garage all set up. He makes signs, goes out 2 o'clock in the morning once a week or something. He just puts a crap load of signs up. All of a sudden, they have a big gathering in Michigan State Capitol. Everybody's got the sign. Man, they're all inspired. one guy. So that's what I'm looking for, is people like Rachel. Now, we have several locations that we can go and do this. If I schedule a place for us to go do signs, and you set aside like a three-hour block for everybody just to go and visit, and then they do their own thing and support what, I don't care. You know, we're just going there. Everybody meets. They make some signs. They take a bunch with us. They put them out on the way home, and they kind of, and you're done. You know, it's done. You, one evening, you're done. And I'm telling you, I don't think I know. I know. And so does Rachel. Rachel, when you guys were making signs, how many would you make? How long a time period did you do that?
Oh, you know, it didn't even take that long. What we did is we used a projector and we made like a really nice stencil. And then we just had one of those paint machines. I don't know what it is, but it kind of like sprays the paint out, but not spray paint. And we would just, you know, spray the paint on one, set it aside, let it dry. And we did at least a couple rolls of Tyvek, and we would get them to other activists that were, you know, just around the Ohio area. And we'd pass off, you know, here's like 15 for you, 10 for you. And then they'd go out at night, just like you said, you know, 1, 2 a.m., whatever, go out at night, zip tie them up. And it was just done. By the time, you know, the next morning hit, people were seeing the signs on their way to work. And it worked very effectively. So we were the main hub that was making them. We had a really nice garage to make them in. And then we just gave them to people who were willing to put them up. And they were going up all over the state. It was awesome.
Would you like to see that again in Arizona?
I would love to see that again all over the place. And I am so down to see it in Arizona, like, tomorrow.
Okay. This is what we're going to do. After the show, we'll go ahead and set up a time. I got to call some people that different locations and let them know what's a good date for them. But it's going to be, now the thing is the material. Tyvek ripped, you know, easily. It was not good in the wind. But then we used the banner material from the big 14 by, you know, 45, whatever, these big giant banner. They want to get rid of them because they got to pay like $5-$10 to throw them in the landfill because they never go away. And we would cut those up and do it, and those held up really well. But that's expensive, and they're heavy, and they're a pain in the butt. But there's this material that's made. It's kind of what they make sandbags out of now. It's this poly-woven, doesn't-rip material. You can take a knife, push it in, and you can't rip it with your hands without making your fingers bleed. I mean, it's amazing material. You get them in all kinds of different. I got yellow, I got blue, and I got white. And I'm going, all right, then we make the stencils like we did before. We can carve them out in that waterproof wallboard stuff that we can do with a projector. I'm sure you guys did the projector thing. And we can do that. Mm-hmm. Or we have pieces of wood that we make like puzzles to make them as big as we want that we laser cut with a 100-watt laser, and we get as intricate and everything. It's very, very, very cool. What we're going to do is where we go, we're going to demonstrate and show the people how to do all of these. The projector thing and where the material is and how cheap it is and how easy it is. Once we do it once, there will be people just like you and me that get inspired and they go, well, hell, I can do this, you know, and they go do it. You know, so this, all you got to do is spark it. And if you're willing to help me do that, I am going to, man, we're going to get, they pissed me off. And I left Arizona. We're on this trip, lovebuslibertytour.com. I come back to and it's just, they're just as bad. I didn't expect it to happen here. And I don't think the people are as supportive of it as a lot of people are led to believe. It's when they get an opportunity like this, because this is where the Lovolution started. I already know the people. I can get a whole bunch of people, but I need new people. I want people like you to inspire your group and organ. We'll support, you know, whatever you're doing with the lawsuits and all that kind of, yeah, whatever. But I'm telling you, in the end, if the bad guys don't see it, it's out of their mind. And when you look out at Wesley Bowen Plaza in the Capitol there and they see a couple hundred people, it's a couple hundred. You know, where's the 2 million? I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm on. Now, tell me about the lawsuit itself. What does the lawsuit do?
Right. So the lawsuit is, it was started in Ohio with Tom Renz, and we have their evidence and complaints. So basically, it challenges the whole declaration of the state of emergency. And the point of that is that Dr. Pam Popper and Tom Renz and Jason Hedges, he was also one of the founders of the movement, they realized that a lot of these lawsuits, the government was like, well, we're allowed to tread on your constitutional rights because, you know, there's this state of emergency going on. So they realized, well, we've got to challenge a state of emergency then. And so they think that that's the roots of this whole problem, you know, not these individual mask mandates or anything. It's where's the legitimacy of the emergency here? And to me, that sounds like a really great plan. I am so on board with their effort. And I love what they're doing. When I hear Jason and Pam Popper speak about it, it sounds really amazing. But they're also doing education. They're really into educating the public. Dr. Pam Popper's building a whole network of activists. So it's more than just the lawsuit. But as far as the lawsuit goes, it's challenging that whole state of emergency. And where we've gotten so far in Arizona is we're working with Chris Enos. And like I mentioned before, he helped JD in his case. And he realized that there were some things that needed to be done within the state of emergency before within Arizona before you can go to like a federal case and file like the lawsuit at large. And so he started the ball rolling in Arizona to do some legal action to where they have until December 31st in order to come back and give us an answer. I guess you have to give them notice and you have to give them time to like remedy a situation, and that's what he did. And we have until the 31st for them to get back to us. We're expecting silence and then to just move forward. And so we're already taking the first steps necessary to get everything done in the state of Arizona to where we can then work on the lawsuit at large. Chris, Mr. Enos, he is being very generous. Some attorneys want $20,000, $50,000, whatever, just to even look at the evidence, the complaint, and move forward. He's like, you know what? I believe in this cause. I was about to retire anyways. He helped JD voluntarily. He is totally willing to just do it all for a pretty inexpensive price, I feel like, as far as attorneys are concerned. And overall, he believes in the cause, and I think he's being very charitable. So that's where we're raising money for. That's what we're doing, and we're going to continue to challenge the legitimacy of this state of emergency and hope that as we're doing that, we rally more and more and more and more people to also challenge the legitimacy of the state of emergency, challenge the legitimacy of their government, and to band together and to just, you know, stand by and create other actions that they can do. And so we are doing other actions as Arizona Stands United, but our main focus and our main fundraising is the lawsuit.
Okay. I'm certainly willing to help, and anybody willing to do and kind of discount of and so on, but all I hear is delay on their playing field with their referees and their sportscasters and their rules and their, and I'm the guy with the rainbow wig at the end zone throwing peanuts and making fun of the whole thing. Okay. So I'm wanting to make sure that, you know, you guys, you have to check off all these boxes. Everybody has to do it. Well, the lawsuit's done. You got to try. You got to go through the process. But I'm not waiting. I'm like, nope. There's other stuff needs to be done. Yeah, fine. Keep doing that. But I tell you, it'll be a lot more effective when we're out here being real buttheads. And you know this. We'll be right back.
Yes.
Rachel Catherine, ArizonaStandsUnited.org. I know you understand what I'm talking about. And a lot of people are going to be, but we need, and it's a distraction from, and we got, and I don't care. Okay? Blah, blah, blah. If you don't demonstrate the general public opinion or have them, you know, be able to even mention they saw a sign, they made a sign, they support a sign, or whatever, the technology is so different now. When they started coming out in the first 08 campaign, they didn't have QR codes. If they'd had QR codes back then, I'm like, holy crap. Now I could just put up a button, which we did later. We had like a big door size vinyl that had like a bunch of cut out bumper stickers all over it and had different sayings with a QR code. Well, we took those and you imagine like a 2-inch square bumper sticker and we put them on every single gas pump we could find. We put them inside porta-johns at the fairgrounds. We went in high-rises and put them inside the doors on every toilet. We did, I mean, it was saturated. Now, just a couple weeks ago, before Christmas, we put out love cards that we had, like a Christmas card. We did it with Dr. Paul back in 07 Christmas in New Hampshire, leading up to that, and it was very effective. So we did it again, and we had the Thick Red Line with Howard put these out with his stuff with us. I paid to have him come out and do that. And we did, so I'm willing to put forth a focused, kick-ass effort in Arizona because I got four kids and 12 grandkids. That's my motivation, okay? So if you guys set a time, we can work it out, and just you come. I don't care. You know, just you. I mean, you know how to do it anyway. Hopefully you'll bring a couple of people because somebody else needs to know how to do it, especially with the new technology that we have. You do that, I'll show you what's up.
I love it. And, yes, you totally get it. You totally... We're on the same page. You know, this is changing the minds of the people. It's like you know, I'm not a Trump supporter, but I admire how the minds of the Trump supporters have gone more towards the constitutional limited government, you know, mentality versus the old neocon Republican mentality that we were in like the George Bush era. And it's like, you know, it's that change of focus. It's that change in the human mind of the American mentality that I'm after overall, and that unity where we're like, once we wake up, what are we going to do? We got to do this together, and we can't be gatekeepers. This has to be grassroots. It has to be all over the place, and I'm totally on board. I will totally come and make signs. I also have a child myself, so this is a big...
Child?
He will be 6 in a few days.
Boom! I don't bring my grandkids. Hell yeah, my kids... We started this in 88 when I first started when my fourth child had just been born. And I just knew that by the time our kid, this was the deal, by the time our kids were our age then, which was like 28 or something then, I go, by the time, which was 2016, I go, by 2016, it's going to be all over, man. You know, they're not, it's not going to be the same country. Man, was I freaking on. So my kids are all there. They get it. They grew up from 6 years. They think this is normal, you know, fighting this kind of stuff. Woohoo! All right, yeah, bring them on.
Yeah, my son's very, and like I homeschool, and he was home birth. He like totally is being
Rachel,
raised.
You're
and,
my
like,
new hero. I'm so in. Are you married?
No, unfortunately, I'm not. But.
Okay, well,
but that's okay. That's a whole other story.
we'll get you married. All right, hold on. Here we go.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With Rachel Catherine, ArizonaStandUnited.org, but it's much more than that. She is an enormous asset to them, I guarantee it, because she understands what this is really all about, which means... I want to work with you. I want you. I don't want to have to keep explaining this to everybody all the time. And what you explain, you know, let's ask, what about Bob? What do you think, Bob? She get it? She understands? She on the page?
She gets it.
You know, this, are you willing to help a little bit?
Yeah, let's get some people out here. We'll make some signs. We got the dome ready. Waiting.
Yeah, we're going to have a couple of places that we'll do around the valley. We got West Valley and East Valley. Now we need like a North Valley. You know, and everybody quit. They're complaining. But, you know, I'm sure Rachel has some friends to do it. See, Bob and I have been doing this together since. I've known Bob for 25 years. He's run for Congress, a libertarian activist, just retired from the Palo Verde Nuke Plant as the refueling supervisor out there. And now he's retired and on vacation, but he's willing to spend some time on that, and a lot of people are. Now, if the holidays are over, we're ready to go. Rachel, I'm telling you, man, how much time do you got to devote to this? What's your day job and stuff take up? How much time does that take up?
I'm ready, you know. If I can bring my kid along, I'm there. And it sounds like that's, you know, you're a family man. I think we can make that work. I'm totally there, you know. Just we'll make it happen as soon as we can.
Well, one of the families that we did, they allowed us to use their home, a nice big home. They homeschooled their 8 children, okay? So they, you know, one more, you know, 10 more. I mean, you know, and. So this is, yeah, we're building it up. We've had this, there's a lot of people ready to do this. I know that. And it's just, I mean, let's get through the holidays and everything and get to talk to Rachel and stuff, because I knew what was going to happen. But it's more than just, you know, because election fraud was what got me in the beginning. I knew it was going to come down to this. As an activist, I'd scream. I filed against the state of Arizona 44 election laws, went all the way to the Ninth Circuit. I was my own attorney, you know, oral argument. I've had 3 lawsuits, Arizona Supreme Court, appeals court. I get it. But none of that was I ever thought that they were going to go, oh, Ernie, God, man, as long as you explained it right. You know, hell no. They don't care. You know, they're put there to waste your time. But I got what I wanted out of it. How many articles can you get when you got a bunch of people somewhere? None, unless you get a government number, an arrest number, a filing number, a suit number, recall, a referendum, an initiative, a campaign, whatever number, and it's kind of like a permission slip for them to cover it. Well, now with social media and everything, screw them, I don't care. But that's why they have to control social media. So the thing, we knew this, so what happens? You go to the street. You bypass all of their control mechanisms, and they don't like it. Who are they, Ernie? Let me tell you who they are. You want to know who they are, Rachel? I'll tell you who they are. Here's who they are. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just want to leave them alone. You know, if that's who they, them, those are, I know them by their fruits. They won't leave us alone. And this is, they're driving us into the dirt. And all these businesses, when I talk to Mr. Ball, what do I get? You know, we're going to file suits and this and business and open and kind of whatever. And I'm going, you know, they're just driving you into the ground to where everybody just needs to open. Ignore the lockdowns. Yeah, but they'll take my license. What the hell do you think they're doing? They're taking your business. It's over. If you don't resist them, it's over. But what JD was doing, as I get it, it's freedom of information stuff. We've done this before. They're not going to say, oh, okay, here it is, but them not giving it to you, that's more general public opinion stuff. So what is it that we can do to help you? See, when you say, well, we're doing the suit and we're raising money for the suit and all that, that's cool, and we'll make sure you get enough attention, but that doesn't interest me. What interests me is resistance, going out on the street, showing, making signs, being out there, no, we're not complying. That's what interests me. And that's why Bob and I, we took the Love Bus around the state, and we go to different businesses that are refusing to close, and we're helping them. We're doing remotes from their restaurant parking lot and kind of whatever. Then what? I don't know. But it's after the holidays, and our entire middle class and the entrepreneurs and the business owners and the mom-pa stores are going away in place of Amazon and Walmart, because that's how they control it. They are doing this on purpose, with intent and a design. Do you feel that?
Oh, absolutely. This is an intentional crashing of the economy. And those of us who have been in this for a long time, we've known how the Federal Reserve has devalued our currency. We know about the hidden tax that is inflation. We know how they've been trying to break small businesses, break families, and we know this agenda. And it's very intentional at this point, when you see the hypocrisy where a small business is shut down, but then a large business remains open. And I totally agree that, like, we need massive noncompliance. We've seen cases out of like New York and Pennsylvania where gym owners or restaurant owners, they said, you know what, we're not listening to you, we're going to stay open. They received fines, and, you know, some of them had to go through the whole court process, but at the end of the day, it was like, these are unenforceable law. They're not laws, they're unenforceable. You get to run your business, you don't have to distance, we don't care, you know, we can't enforce masks. And there have been some business victories there. And I think the key is for people to rise up, to rally behind these businesses and let the businesses know, hey, you know what? Us as activists, we have your back. And there's also a team of people that we're working with that want to do that, to where, like, if the bureaucrats show up at a business, the business can call us and we will come and show up and be like, hey, bureaucrats, leave get out of here. And we've seen that be effective in some other states where that has happened. And we're working on that in Arizona. We do have a group of people who want to do that. And so we want to reach out to businesses. And it's actually something that we're in the infancy states of right now, where we want to give businesses resources where they feel like they can assert their rights. And not only do they have to do it, like, but they don't have to do it alone. We have a group of activists that want them to stay open. We, the people, want these small businesses, these bars, these restaurants, we want them to run how they see fit. And we want to support them in doing so. So that's a big part of the network that we also want to create, is this non-compliance. But not just, you know, one or two of us not wearing a mask in a store. We want massive non-compliance. We want these businesses to know, if you don't comply, we have your back.
You know, I just don't wear a mask. I've wore a mask like 3-4 times in a year. You know, it's because I had to go in Verizon to get something one time. I needed a audio cable once, a guitar center, but I was ahead about it, though. And then, let's see, what was the other time? Oh, yeah, Southwest Airlines, one leg, they made us. Now they're all freaked out about it. Other than that, I'm like, bite me. You know, I don't even say anything. And if people just stop wearing it, you'd be amazed at how Harbor Freight, Lowe's, and Home Depot, and the parts store, and every they just don't care. Walmart, they're like, whatever. My mm-hmm. wife goes in, they go, ma'am, do you have a mask? Yes, and she keeps walking. You know, I just don't wear it. What are you going to do about it? Tackle me? You know, this is it, all you have to do is have the guts. But when I talked to Mary, one of the members that hooked us up, she was like, yeah, we want to have people, a lawsuit or group that, you know, support the businesses for them to open, and we don't want to have to wear a mask. I'm like, well, it's their business. Hell, they can make you wear a mask if they want. I mean, you know, it's up to them. Find the ones that won't do it. You know, Bob and I, we travel around the state. We look for places that would didn't say anything. We go and eat in a restaurant. And we always tipped more. They didn't bother us about what, boom, big ass tip. Thanks for not, you know, requiring a mask. Boom, they're like, woohoo. This is general public opinion. And I'm not going to babysit these entrepreneurs that go, oh, well, we're going to beg for it and kind of, you know, we wish we could, but no, we can't. Screw that. Now, I'm not going to help them. You know, if they're mm-hmm. going to do it, I want to know where they are and give them my money. Give you some money. I'll buy a widget that I don't need just so I can come in without a mask and show support. So that's what I need. You know, filing suits for them, screw right. them, have them do it. Hell, just have them ignore them. You know, I'm so down with this, and it needs to start with awareness, and it's going to be signs everywhere. That's where it starts. You guys watch. No, does this sound like there's a doubt in my mind, Rachel? Any, a little bit, maybe? No, some? No.
No, I love it.
No. And it takes people like Rachel with experience. Why did you start doing the Lovolution to begin with in your early 20s? You even started this stuff. What brought that on?
Well, you know, I found out about Dr. Ron Paul, and a lot of what he was talking about, I wasn't even aware of. But I just kept listening. Everything he said, he just became like a great teacher. And I looked into so much of it. Like, I was ignorant to economics. I looked into a lot. I looked into Mises and a lot of things that he taught about inflation being a hidden tax, a lot of stuff about the war and the military-industrial complex and
okay,
our foreign policy.
Show now. Yeah, I know,
and
you looked in it, but why?
I was sold.
Why? Why would you even look? You know, what uncle, grandparent, boss, coach, teacher, somebody, you know, encouraged you to even give a crap? Why did you even care?
Huh. You know, I didn't have anybody in my life. In fact, I'm the black sheep of my family. My parents aren't woke to anything. I don't really know. I think it was just the war. I bought into the idea after 9/11 that, you know, there were these bad people across the world who brought down our towers and did this attack, and we're going to go retaliate against them and invade them. And although I didn't like all of that, I was like, okay, I'll stand by. I'll follow this narrative. I'll learn more. And then when we went into Iraq, I was like, wait a minute. Like, what? I don't like it when people just get murdered for no good reason. You know, I don't like killing. I don't like murdering. And when we just all of a sudden went in Iraq and we started dropping bombs, I hate even saying we because I'm not a part of the government. When they started doing that, I started learning a lot. And I just couldn't help myself. I just had to keep learning. It made me question, the reality of everything.
What was your source of information?
Initially, when I first got started, I mean, a long time ago, I followed Alex Jones. He was just, kind of one of the first people that you stumble upon when you're investigating things like 9/11.
Yeah.
And all the different, terror attacks and stuff. So he had all those documentaries out, and he promoted like Loose Change and that sort of thing. And I got into that vein where I started watching all of his documentaries and followed him for a while. And I don't know, after that, I just kind of started following. I made a lot of connections and got on social media, and we all share stories and information and started just following a lot of different media outlets. I followed like Iraq Body Count for a while, United for Peace and Justice, and just a lot of anti-war groups that were, I started seeing where they were saying like schools and hospitals were being bombed and children and civilians were being hurt, and they would show these pictures, and then you would get on the mainstream media and they wouldn't mention a word about it, or they
just
lie about it completely.
Now social media is not mentioning it, or they're banning you from mentioning it.
Right, which is why I think it's very important to create a separate network, and that's something that Mary's created. She has her own separate network where it's like Facebook, but it's this little mighty network she created where people can get on there and express whatever they want and talk. And through our group, we use an app called Discord, and we're trying to go to more encrypted self-ran platforms to where they
the
can't
audience
censor
is
us.
Freak, they know what I'm going to say. IPFS.
Take a drink.
Everybody do a shot. Interplanetary file sharing. What we've done is there is a protocol that allows for decentralized nodes of servers that we've been working with for years, and we have all our stuff on this network that can't be censored. And that's like the internet 3-point kiss my ass. It's coming. And it's we're along the same line. Rachel, there's so much that we can do. If you're what's your how do you sustain yourself? What's your day job? Do you have one? I mean, what do you do?
Well, I was working at a bar, and I'm actually moving to like more of the homestead life. I've been trying to make that transition for a while. So my overhead costs are fairly low to run my life. And, like I mentioned before, I homeschool my kid and stuff. So I really have been trying to build over the years this whole liberty-based life where I don't feel like I'm confined to, like, this 9-to-5 structure.
Yeah, no, that was our first hour. They're doing this very thing. And in real estate development, some guys we know that, in Oklahoma, we're looking at 277 acres here. In Arizona, we know what's going to happen. It's going to, Donna and I sold everything, distributed our kids and grandkids. Now we live on the love bus since May. We're going to be here for, do that until like the end of next summer. And then we'll start trying to build. And we've been doing the solar thing. We have, we did aquaponics and goats and 60 chickens. And we had, when we were on our other private, learning all this stuff and sharing it with the audience for just this reason. And we have a stamp press that we manufacture geodesic domes. And in fact, at the end of January, we're going to Colorado with a lot of our stuff to help a group there that's building an intentional community with our stuff. I mean, we're in the same club here. I'm telling you, Rachel, there's an overlap because we understand what's going on. So this is,
right.
But it starts with, checking off all the boxes. They go, did you write your congressman? Did you call your legislator? Did you file suit? Did you run for office? Did you file a lawsuit? I've checked those boxes off so many times that, the freaking paper's been ripped from the pen. Okay, I'm good. But the thing is that you have to have these stories. That's what, my show's all about, me yakking about this stuff all the time, is that the confidence that we have of what has to happen next. So, but I tell you, it's people being aware of it, and they get through the fear. And the sign making, one, it brings them together that they, you know, can see, look what we did, or I agree with that, or what, just same thing the Lovevolution did. And that's why it's the Love Bus. The Love Bus is the same Love logo. So have you been to the lovebuslibertytour.com?
Yeah, Mary linked me the other day. I actually wasn't familiar with it before that. But yeah, a phenomenal website.
Well, you go, yeah, you just, you know, see the pictures and stuff. And then freedomsphoenix.com is, you know, my main page. But, you know, this is, what I'm going to do is, Donna, contact Carrie and them and see, talk, as soon as we hang up, can you take a call from Donna when we hang up?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Donna will call you, and we'll try and set up a time. You know, the sooner the better. But we'll go ahead and do like a Saturday night or something like that. We'll coordinate with, you know, if we have to, we'll come out here in the desert. But the we got a place to do it. But I wanted to do where we had our Christmas party. They want to help. So see if they can set up a time to where we can all do a sign-making thing, start in the afternoon, like, you know, 1, 2 in the afternoon. We'll get there, get everything all ready. We'll do sign production through the evening, have a barbecue, and then we're done. You know, and it could be, you know, if we're going more than 4 or 5 hours, we did it too long. So we'll have an event to where we can do that, and everybody can be all buds, and we'll do that, okay?
That sounds amazing. I love it. And I'm so happy to hear that you guys are, like, moving more toward the homestead life. And that's been a passion of mine for years. So.
We're deep in it. I just ordered a crap load of panels. You know, we're rock and roll and whatnot. Okay, Donna, you got her?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of solar panels in my backyard. Just sitting there waiting to be
do what you're going
put
to
up
do.
On some land somewhere.
Okay, what are you doing? Hold on a second. All right, hold on a second. We'll go one more segment because Donna needs to get hold of you.
Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah. Unafeared here and declare your independence. Me here and Stancock and Rachel Catherine go another segment because we're not done. And, you know, Mr. Robert Anderson will be yakking about this. We got a bunch of stuff that's been going on over the last few days while we're in rock and roll and whatnot. All right. This is what's going to happen. Rachel, I need you to go ahead and do you have her email, Donna? Okay, Donna, send her an email right now so that, you know, she knows to respond with a phone number. So as soon as you get that email, just send back so we don't give it on the air, your phone number. Donna's going to call you, and we're going to schedule a time before we do a sign production day. It'll probably, I think, probably more convenient. I mean, a lot of times it'd be any day of the week and whatever people want to do, that's their thing. But we'll try and make it probably a Saturday afternoon. We'll do, like, kind of a little barbecue after, and we'll come out with a billion signs, and people, you know, and then they'll go put them up, and then they'll get all activated because I already know what's going to happen. So we'll do that. We'll set this up. We got some places to do it. We have we'll do the East Valley one first, and we got here in the West Valley. We'll get some stuff going on, but we need to do it, you know, now because you know, towards the next couple of weeks, few weeks, Donna and I are back on the road again. So we need to hit it hard here, and I know what's going to happen. What I want to have happen is a seed gets planted and kind of, man, the Lovevolution continues. And then by the time Don and I come back to Arizona, where we're going to stay, you know, it's kind of got a little something awareness of going on. And we'll spread it across the state as much as we can over the next couple of weeks. Because when we come back, then we're here. And we're here. And I'm not, we're here. and the man is going to get. They want to play. Let's play. Because I'm so sick of this, and I'm so disappointed, as I'm sure a lot of people are, that Arizona wasn't more organized in its opposition, but we're a tolerant, loving, compassionate people. We go, okay, we don't want to kill grandma. But then they use our compassion against us, and they see it as a weakness, where in reality, it may not be immediate, but it's our greatest strength. Once we decide that, and we use logic and reason and critical thinking, and we go, oh, okay, so you're like, oh, okay, you guys want to play. This is what you want to do? All right. And you get general public opinion going that way, which is what we'll work together in doing. And then all the – there is no central plan for freedom. You know, file all the lawsuits you want. Go after the freedom of information and the suit about and kind of – and no lockdown and I'm not wearing a mask and kind of where I can put my money. Oh, and by the way, Rachel's also in the, off-grid, tiny, I don't need to have big bill living. And we're like, we're way down the road on that. So we can help with that too. So I'm telling you, this is going to happen. It's always going to happen. It's just the stages you go through to make sure as a critical number of people go, it needs to happen. And then guess what? It happens.
It happens.
You know, that's just the way it works. So that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And Rachel, I started when I was your age. I'm 59 now. And if I had known what you know now, back then, well, it only took me a few months to figure it out. But, back then, but you're in a different environment now. You're in an environment where it's documented. That's why they got to censor everything. That's why they got to scrub YouTube and Facebook of all this stuff, because we know. And they, them, those are freaking out. And that's the easiest way to refer. I just, they, them, those, the ones that won't leave me alone. And they're usually, what we're finding out, is they're sociopaths. They're not wired right in the head. They don't have any empathy or compassion. They're going after it. And if they're not the sociopaths, then they're the vampires or whatever. It's their familiars. You know, it's the people helping them. It's the people going. So they're just weak. Well, we're strong. And I'm out. Oh, I'm feel. Are you feeling more confident after today's show? What's going to happen, Rachel? Huh? Are you? Huh?
I needed this. Yes. I just, you know, the apathy that people get into, or, you know, like you were saying, just them taking our kindness for weakness. They take our silence as consent. And all we have to do is stand up. It's really that simple. And I think hopefully by now, especially after this last joke of a stimulus, a 6,000-page garbage, hopefully a lot of people are willing to put their foot down finally, and we're going to give them the platform to do it.
Yeah, this is, you know, I got, you know, there's always tools available, and you know, ArizonaStandsUnited.org is one of the fine pieces. I don't care. But I'm not, you know, I do not want to get complacent in the idea that people think it's something to join or it's somebody else's thing. I want to teach them to be, it's like, I give you an example. In New Hampshire, there was a group there. They have what they called gun church. Every other Sunday, they would do gun training in on this private property in the woods there, and they had a thing set up, and they do gun training. Well, it was a special forces guy. He's just training his friends and people. It just kind of grew into a thing. And I go, why do you call it gun church? Gunchurch.org. He goes, because you got to practice religiously. And I go, okay. So. So the idea was, oh, yeah, we should get get armed up and put the perimeter around the park and let the families go, and they go to the public park, and they're not going, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not there to defend somebody else's kids and them. You know, train them to do it than themselves. No, hell no. This collective, everybody keeps thinking collectively. Train people to defend themselves. Train them to train their kids. Train them to do it themselves and make their own decisions when it matters. Decentralize. Quit centralizing everything. That was the power of the Ron Paul Revolution. When that went, it was people all over the place. The more decentralized, the better. Now, there's people like yourself and different organizations that can help that. You know, I don't have a problem with that. You voluntary, temporary alliances of whatever the hell. But when people start, you know, think, whenever you create an organization or a group around a movement or a cause, sooner, this is called Steiger's Law. I don't know if you remember Sam Steiger. You're probably not from Arizona. He's an old curmudgeon politician here back in the day. And it's called Steiger's Law. Whenever you create an organization or a group around a movement or a cause, sooner or later, every freaking time, the group becomes more important than the reason you created it. That happens always. So I don't want to create a group that all of a sudden, well, that would be bad for the group. Or we need to have the, you know, worry about the group. Or the image of the group. You know that? No, it's individual effort. The group effort should just be a tool and a resource. So that's what I try. That's why I come to help. I don't want you to join my group. I don't need you to subscribe to my thing. I don't, you know, fortunately we have supporters financially and people get it. And they go, you keep doing what you're doing. Peace. But I am not about creating a group. If I'd done that, I could have a big, giant, oh my God, Lovolution group. But I intentionally didn't because I know that's not where the power is. It's in individuals like Rachel Catherine. You feel me?
100%. In fact, we had to part ways early on without getting into the specifics of it with the mentality of somebody who wanted all of the control and didn't want anybody else to do anything. And I'm like, no, that's not how this is. So there are about 8 of us that started Arizona Stands United, and now we have a larger core group, and everybody was unanimously like, that's not how we're running this. There's no gatekeepers. There's no, you know, I'm doing all the work and follow me. This is grassroots. This is, we're empowering everybody. We're giving them the resources to take the information and run with it. You know, if you need our help for resources, for making signs, for where you can sign up or do whatever action or get involved or come to a meeting and meet with people and to brainstorm, whatever someone's genius is, we welcome it in. Whatever capacity they want to get involved, we welcome them in. This is a volunteer led. This is for the people, by the people. In fact, like, I'm not even listed on the 501. We only formed a 501c4 so we can, you know, be tax exempt and help the lawsuit and stuff. And we followed Ohio's platform in doing that. We consulted with Jason there. But this is not...
Here, listen to
this. I'm not the leader of this. I'm not the leader of this. Jenny is not the leader of this. We just, you know, this is other people's movement. We're giving them the resources.
Years ago, but the Crown... Go ahead and listen to this commercial. We'll be right back.
...prompts us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Okay, did you hear that, Rachel?
Sorry, I muted myself. Yeah, I did hear that. That sounds really good. Is that
you go
a reading from a book or something that you wrote?
Yeah, no, it's a site that we have. It's called piratewithoutborders.com. Now, we have letters of Captain Mark and his sidekick, his first mate, Reprisal. Letters of Mark and Reprisal. Get it? Oh. Now, what we did is we did the philosophy in like a dozen or more letters that is just a mindset of decentralization. When you go to piratewithoutborders.com, you kind of look at the site. Top left, you'll see our pirate ship that we got and whatever. the spaceship and stuff. It'll be cool. Then you have, across the top, it has communication, energy, shelter, food and water, all of the technology that decentralized power down to the individual. That's what this homestead off-gridding stuff is about, and all the technology and building materials and new tech for you to be able to do it. Now, Bob out here in Tonopah, he's been 15 years out on the Lone Prairie. He has no lines coming, his own solar, windmill, well, septic, everything. And you're perfectly willing to welcome to come out here and visit and see what's going on. We've been doing this for a while. You want to be inspired of what can be done. This is it. Okay? So what I'm going to have is Donna's going to call you right now. We're going to try and set up a time to do the sign thing, and it'll blossom and explode from there. You ready?
I love it. I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I've never really seen a desert homestead yet. And so I'm used to, like, the Ohio climate, and I would really be thankful for that opportunity. Thank you.
All right, we're going to set it up. You know, Donna, see if she can come out here and just visit for a time or something. Bring her child and hang with grandkids. Heck, you know, today we have our 7-year-old granddaughter out here. So, you know, just visiting, razoring out in the desert. All right, I got to get to my next segment. It was awesome, Rachel. I will see you soon.
Thank you so much, Ernie.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Very nice to connect with you.
You too. And now we get to talk to Mr. Robert Anderson. You know, this is how I have. This is what you know is going to happen. You know, we get to, you know, visit with people, and we start to find out, you know, the kind of things that are happening. You know, the kind of things that we know are going to be of importance to a lot of people. And it's this inspiration. It's I'm not alone kind of thing. This is what's happening. And I want to make sure that people know that when you do this, the people come out of the woodwork to start supporting action. And a lot of these organizations, and the guys want to be in charge, they want to do whatever it is they want to do, and they want to be there, they got a plan or something. And the biggest criticism that we get a lot of times is, you know, Ernie, what's your plan? I don't know, to make sure you get to have your plan. Well, that's not a plan. I need somebody to tell me what to do. I'm like, no. The best plan is you get to have your own plan. And if we support that, all of a sudden you see a lot of things actually starts getting done. This is one thing I saw. Dr. Paul gave a Mises presentation, and he mentioned something again that I know a lot of you may know, a lot of you don't. When the Mayflower came in Plymouth, when they started that, they almost all died very quickly. But a couple, man, it was going down because it was from each according to their ability to each according to their, you know, needs kind of thing. It was a communist community. We're all going to work together. Well, there's no incentive. You know, the young, strong guys are doing all the work for everybody else. And nobody thinks, yeah, well, I get mine. I'll just sit here and get my, you know, $600 check, universal basic income. That never works. When they finally went to, you know, all right, you guys get to keep your own stuff, they had so much abundance, and that's what saved them. You know, it was just incentives. What do you promote and what do you punish? This has been a neon flashing obvious to so many people. It's so great to hear another. I meet these people all the time. A lot of times they'll run up showing me their Levolution tattoo. But, you know, it's people like Rachel. You know, she's a single parent with a young daughter and 6 years old, wanting to do kind of a homesteading. I know who the problem is and what's happening and where do I put my investment and time and effort and money towards a push of the guy. I get it. There's somebody that gets it. What do you do with someone that gets it? How do you con them? You don't. You can't. And then what happens? Things like Valiant Real Estate, that you go in the first hour of today's show and look up the PDF. Well, it was a business plan. They got a plan. 40-something page plan, but they got a plan.
They got a plan.
They got a plan. So I'm just like, all right. Well, let's go ahead and, you know, we'll talk about the plan. Well, my thing is, I just want to know, what do I have to do? What can't I do? What's your conflict resolution? Because I want to know what's mine. Mine. Now, Bob and I have been, we're starting to do due diligence on this property, and we're looking and seeing, but I'm not, it's not, I mean, if not that, something like that. This is kind of what we're looking at, you know. And you went out and explored it, and we went and looked before, and we did some, you know, drone footage of out in the desert. And it's desert.
Oh, yeah, no, it's, you are in the wilderness. It's snoring wilderness.
Which is,
you
what know, I big, want.
Bighorn sheep, rattlesnakes, mountain lions, javelina, the whole bit. Yeah, you got it.
Cactus. You know, this is, you know, you have yet to do the water harvesting thing.
Yeah, I play with it a little bit. I got a couple of rain barrels and a horse trough and catching water off my roof, but
you know. Well, you've done the math. I mean, you're a math guy. Yeah. You kind of, you know, it's going, yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, you have intentional shade, you know, like carport barn kind of roofing thing, and you put solar panels on, you know, they double up as rain, you know, and then you got collection areas. Now, the rainwater thing, you can really, because I remember years ago or a decade ago, there was some local television thing in Tucson made a big deal out of this guy. He and his wife lived year-round just from the rainfall in Tucson.
Well, yeah, and that's what the Green Dream Project's all about. I mean, they're, you know, we even asked them. When we were down there putting the dome up, I specifically asked them, because they use a lot of water in that rammed earth thing that they're doing with the bags. And they haven't got a lot of water this year, so I asked them if they had brought water in yet, and they haven't. They're getting pretty tight, but they haven't had to bring water in yet.
They go, yeah, we think we might have to. I mean,
yeah, but they get some rain here, and I mean, you look outside today, and you know, Flagstaff's getting snow. We got a little rain the other day that wasn't expected, and I got a couple inches in the horse trough that I woke up in the morning and went like, ooh, look at water from the sky, you know, kind of thing. So
you know, it's what do you got to do to keep rainwater safe? It just got to be dark.
Yeah, I mean, if it's in light, any kind of light, you're going to get algae. Not that algae is, you know, bad, but, you know, it's having green slime in your water is probably not the best thing. But, yeah, you just keep it dark.
Don't get women wanting to live with you with green slime water.
Yeah, no, with green slime water. There's all kinds of things you can do. There's, like, slow sand filters that, you know, I mean, for what it's worth, the UNESCO, the United Nations and all that, I mean, they've studied this and go, like, yeah, for, you know, people living out in places where they don't have, like, you know, city water, you
can carbon. Sit there,
you run it through a slow sand filter, and you get potable water out of it. So
the carbon things, we look at the primitive guys. I mean, I've spent hours just brain dead watching somebody with a stick build a house out in the middle of the jungle or something. You know, there's all these primitive, what do you call those guys?
Modern primitive,
whatever. They, you know, and a lot of them, they're probably in the Philippines or something, just some guy barefoot with it, and they forge metal, and they're making
bank on YouTube.
I know. I think there's somebody, you know, the guy with the camera's making bank and having these guys do it. I'll give you a little something, you build me a house. But the it's been amazing what you can do with just time.
Yeah, most people don't understand when the best disinfectants for water is
sunlight.
If you can sit there and, you know, bake it under the sun for about a half hour, it'll kill most of the pathogens in water.
Well, you know, that's one of the filters, is that you have a UV filter it goes through. Right. It's just ultraviolet. And then you have big water treatment plants. One of their big processes is to make sure it goes under a UV light. You know, it's just sun, you know, just, you know, beat the crap out of it. And that's why here in the Southwest, you know, it was all about line drying stuff. It wasn't that you didn't, you know, it was an energy thing too. You know, you didn't use a dryer, but it was the line drying was really more about disinfecting your clothes with the sun beating the crap out of it.
Right.
You know, and so this is, I mean, it destroys viruses and stuff. It just, that's why they want you to go out in the sun. Not only does it make vitamin D, it just zaps everything.
No, you got to stay inside. Stay inside. The COVID's out there. Don't go outside, which is the worst thing you can be doing. Get outside. Lay out in the sun. Run around on the beach.
Yeah.
Breathe some fresh air. Get that freaking mask off your face.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we'll take the holidays. We'll just chill. We'll get stuff ready. We'll start thinking about whatever. And after the show, You got an hour. Let's just transmit to Derek, you know, designs and stuff.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing going today other than put the bird netting up on my garden.
Yeah, we'll do that real quick. You know, that bird netting, that was one thing we put over our aquadomes because the birds were beating the crap out of all our stuff inside the aquadome. And it cost to cover both of them. It was only like $50, $60, $70 or something.
This is only going to cost me probably $40 to do what I got to do.
Yeah, it says nylon netting. It's just like, I don't know, you can get it whatever openings you want, you know, and that I'm telling you, tech is, you know, this is the one I'm talking about. Technology is freaking saving everybody's ass. And you could do, and this is like UV resistant.
Yeah, I'll get a couple years out of it.
Nylon or something like that.
By then I'll decide I'll probably, you know, put chicken wire on it or something.
Yeah, but chicken wire is chicken wire.
Yeah.
It's like chicken wire.
But I can put chickens in chicken wire.
Chicken wire. Chickens. Yeah, I used to do that all the time. You got chickens. Because, man, chickens are awesome. And they're really, really easy.
Are you a cryptocurrency advocate? The Crypto Tip is the ideal outreach tool to help new people discover cryptocurrency. It's a printable business card-sized tip that you can give to service providers, preferably in addition to a good cash tip. When the server scans the QR code, it'll bring up an explanation of cryptocurrency, how to install a wallet, and allow them to claim the tip. If they don't claim the crypto, you get your tip refunded to you after a time period you specify. Plus, if they do claim the tip, you get an email alert. Create as many tips as you want at CryptoTip.org. That's CryptoTip.org.
Did you know you can listen to LRN.fm via our free-to-air satellite channels? We have channels over nearly all of North America and much of Africa. All you need is an affordable receiver and a dish as small as 30 inches. There are no monthly fees. Learn more at sat.lrn.fm. Plus, if you are a broadcaster or want to be one, this is a good delivery method for our content. See our coverage maps and get details at sat.lrn.fm. That's sat.lrn.fm. sat.lrn.fm.
Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 28th through July 4th for ForkFest 2021 at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest happens the week after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and ForkFest is decentralized, which means no one is in charge. That also means there's no ticket cost. Just reserve your camping, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 28th through July 4th. Where better to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire? You can relax and enjoy the camaraderie of like-minded people, or you can create whatever experience or event you'd like others to have. If you're planning an event for ForkFest, be sure to let others know in advance. You can connect with fellow ForkFesters via the unofficial Telegram chat or the ForkFest forum. Links to those are on the unofficial website, ForkFest.party. Mark your calendar for June 28th through July 4th, 2021. We'll see you at ForkFest.party.
Want to accept Bitcoin at your online store? There's a good chance you already have what you need. A WordPress using WooCommerce and a Bitcoin address. Now all you need to start taking Bitcoin payments on your website is the AnyPay app on your Android or iPhone. Just paste your Bitcoin address into AnyPay, then connect it to your website with our one-click plugin for WordPress. Now your website takes Bitcoin. Start to finish in 15 minutes or less with no complicated steps. Download AnyPay from the App Store today.
Now that you've found the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.fm, you may want to help expose others to our great programs. To assist you in doing so, you'll find resources at promote.lrn.fm, including details on how to get a free bumper sticker, quarter-page flyers you can print out and distribute, banners for your website, as well as files that will allow you to make your own custom banners and graphics. Visit promote.lrn.fm and help bring new listeners to the Liberty Radio Network. That's promote.lrn.fm. 100%.
Do you sometimes feel that healthy eating can be a lot of work with very little reward? Well, no need to worry any longer. Here are the Onion's tips for healthy eating. First, identify your weaknesses, and then condition yourself to avoid problem foods by associating them with deceased relatives, unrequited loves, and traumatic events. Remember, alcohol is a source of empty calories, so be sure to keep your drinking under control, unless you're really f***ing stressed out. Like if something happens at work, or if your cat gets hit by a car. If you find yourself suddenly craving a fatty food, let yourself enjoy the best of both worlds. Tape a slice of ham to your tongue and slowly absorb the taste throughout the day without swallowing. Stay motivated by paying yourself $1 every day until you meet your weight loss goals. At the end of 10 years' time, spend that cash on a cosmetic operation of your choice. There, now you're ready to begin your new healthy lifestyle.
This is the Onion News Network.
Now you can follow LRN.fm on the decentralized Mastodon social media platform at toot.lrn.fm, toot.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And Mr. Anderson. Good morning, Mr. Anderson.
Good morning, Mr. Hancock.
Okay, we're, you know, things are happening and going pretty quick here. I got a lot of communication, people already wanting to, you know, okay. All right. I know holidays kind of, you know, we do a, get a thing, and Donna's, you know, focused on, you know, family and stuff and everything, but it's going to hit January, and then it's going to have to start really rocking and rolling. And she just walked out. Now she knows it's going to get busy, and she's just going to have to get used to it. Because here we go. This is what she got to go back to Arizona IA, and we get to do family and everything. I'm just being patient and enjoying ourselves and so on. But then it's rock and roll. And I tell you, you know, this is the feeling that you get in Arizona. When it hits about October, by Halloween. Halloween, you know, sometimes the kids trick-or-treating have to wear a sweater, and sometimes they don't. I mean, right. You know, it's just, you know, that's when it starts to cool off at night and you start getting cold. So it's like November. That's when the snowbirds, they don't even show up until November, you know, into October, November. And then they leave about when? Into March, April, they start heading out. And
it depends. It's been getting longer last year, like, say, with the COVID thing going on. I think a lot of people were just getting to escape the city so they could, one, escape the city and potentially avoid whatever poop show is going to come down.
They just stayed out in the desert.
Yeah, and they just stayed out in the desert pretty much until the heat drove them out. And that was probably end of May, going into June, before finally the real diehards were like, yeah, we're out of here because you can't be here.
Yeah. It gets the mindset is this. One, if you got enough power, I deploy all solar. I didn't even put the solar out from underneath. We need to do that, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you had enough solar and you had a little evap cooler, because you can run evap coolers, and they're pretty energy efficient all the way until, you know, probably end of June, going into July.
You know, the one thing that is, I was always like, how in the hell are they going to be able to cool an electric car? You know, Tesla has electric cars, and they use electric, you know, to cool and heat, air conditioning. So they got their, you know, biohazard environmental seal HEPA filter of I get to drive through smoke in a forest fire. I mean, all those fires are going on in Northern California. Tesla owners are driving around. What's up? Oh, this is a really cool movie. I mean, you know, they're driving around, you know, and they're not having to do the smell, or they can breathe or whatever. And so if you got the power, you can do whatever. And these heat pumps that he has are really efficient. And he's coming in the HVAC and the air conditioning and heating in residential. That's coming. There'll be a year or two, and he's going to be kicking the crap out of everybody on that.
Well, you got a proof of concept that it'll work before he sends it to Mars.
Right. You know,
that's how he does stuff.
And it's, you know, and that's one thing, all this tech, it's all about, you know, being a pirate. You know, it's the decentralization down there. That's why people that go, oh, the car and environment, you know, whatever reasons, I don't care. You know, that is not it. I get a Cybertruck. It's like a really big battery with wheels for my house, and I charge it with my panels, and everybody can suck it. You know, so there's that. They go, yeah, but what? I mean, I don't. What are you looking for? You know, just to poo-poo it. I mean, you know, whatever. But I'm just, no, I can see the future, and it's very bright, which is dangerous to they, them, those who want to collectivize everything. They do not want us to be out in the Lone Prairie and doing whatever we want. So this is, I'm looking at hitting this hard the first half of January, getting done what we need to here and getting it sparked and going. And once these groups start making signs, everybody gets their stencils and everybody's all happy and they're starting to, you know, signs everywhere, then I feel comfortable leaving Arizona for a little while and go doing it in other places. And we'll be hitting northeastern Arizona and then Colorado and then Austin and then go down to Houston. I got to go see me some Boca Chica.
I was going to say, you're going to go down to the Boca Chica?
Yeah, Boca Chica. I went to Spaceport, you know, in Truth Consequences, New Mexico there, where they have Spaceport, where Spaceship 1 and 2 and all that is based, you know, Virgin Galactic. And I was like, yeah, whatever, you know. I mean, it was nice, you know, place for a spaceport, a good valley where I could see, but it was just another government thing. You know, was it Richardson or something? It was New Mexico. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars to build subsidized because
it looked
cool.
Where Branson's doing his thing, or is that where Blue
no,
Origin
No, it's
is.
Branson.
Branson thing.
You know, Blue Origin is in West Texas somewhere. But Musk goes, yeah, bite me. I'll go find as far south as I can near the Mexican border in Texas there on these piece of crap, you know, islands of, you know, spit of sand,
yeah, it's
of nothing.
It's a golf chip shot from the south of the border. I mean, he's about as far south as you can go before you, you know, you're in a different country.
Well, the benefit is the closer you can get to the equator, the less fuel it takes for you to whatever. And they start screwing with them. Biden administration comes screwing. They go, F you, and I'm out of here. You know, do you know that he's going to build another spaceport, you know, like Boca Chica, you know where?
Thailand. I heard it was, or Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Or Indonesia. Yep.
He's going to Indonesia is like the fourth most populous nation. It's a bunch of islands out in the middle. He's going to be Dr. Evil, man. I got my volcano lair. You know? Yeah. So this is, you can't stop the signal, man. You know? It here we go. And that's what I'm looking at. You just need people to believe it. You just need inspiration.
Well,
you
when Texas secedes, he'll be in a third country. So, I mean.
You know, that's one thing. I remember in the late 70s when they had that was going on before Reagan came in. It was called the Sagebrush Rebellion. And it was just the same thing that's going on now is all this land stuff.
Right.
Is when they first started doing their, you know, this sustainable. It wasn't environmental as much as it was. I don't know, just wanted to do it. Now they just had to come up with a new excuse. But they brought them all together. Because then it was the ERA Amendment, the Equal Rights Amendment. You know, I remember Bob Hope on Phil Donahue, they asked him about it, and he goes, I think it's the Equal Rights Amendment for the women. I think it's greater than to give up all that power. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going, oh. So the Equal Rights Amendment was one issue. Conservatives didn't use anti-abortion. That was another issue to do the, you know, the Constitutional Convention, try and bring that together. Then environment, and then there's always some war thing. And so there's been all kinds of different excuses and effort, and it all comes down to collectivize the individual against some supposed threat of foreign and domestic enemy of we need to whatever. And then that's why I'm not a fan of all these lawsuits. What a waste of time. Unless, like Rachel was saying, you see it as an educational process.
That's correct.
You know, you know, let's do this so we can show everybody it works or it doesn't work.
Yeah, you know, they're talking about fighting this emergency declaration they're all using. Most people don't realize the United States has been in a perpetual state of emergency since, I don't know, what, Kennedy? Eisenhower? I mean, every president comes in, the first thing they do is sign this emergency thing. And that gets all down into the whole Admiralty Law, which is probably how they're pushing all this administrative law, is because we're in a perpetual emergency situation. People don't realize that as long as that emergency declaration's there, they don't really have to... Or at least they say they don't have to pay attention to your constitutional rights.
You know, in the first hour, we were talking to Jim Davidson about their Valiant thing. And, you know, at least they, you know, they realize this. They go, well, we can get away with a lot of this stuff if it's leased land. You know, do 9-9-9,
yeah.
You know, year thing. I'm like, all right, we'll see. I just hate playing all this paperwork. It sounds like paperwork.
Yeah.
Hell, just to tell me about all the paperwork they save me or they got to do is 40-something pages of paperwork. I'm going, holy crap,
man. We were talking about that up on the, as we were driving through the reservation up on northeast Arizona as we were coming back down from, you know, up there.
Apache.
Yeah, they had a bunch of cabins and stuff up there. A lot of vacation homes that were on this 99-year lease, and they all came due, like, sometime in the 80s, early 90s.
I remember that.
Yeah, and basically there were a lot of people, okay, we're ready to sign the lease, and they all went like, I don't know what you're talking about. There's not going to be no re-signing. And
Thank you for the house, white man.
Yeah, and the people who thought they owned this stuff.
A lot of them were?
They were really put out by it, but it was like, hey, sorry, sucks to be you.
I know the guys, it was a lot of them that were, like, up at Jackalope, all the retired, you know, municipal employees and all that, they knew what was up. You know, they got up there, it was a bunch of firemen. A bunch of firemen went together. They had a bunch of those 99-year leases they got from something. I don't know how they did it, but when those went, they were out. Boom, it's done. And I'm like, yeah, and they, well, we're firemen. We're gonna lobby a fireman lobby, and the Apache went, white man, don't care. This is like a federal Indian affair kind of deal, which is where McCain came. There's so much corruption. Everybody needs to get learnified on just how bad it is.
It is bad, 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 bad. Bad, bad evil bad. People, lions thinking evil people.
But good people, they'll let you know with a sign. Look, I see signs in my future. Let me think. Yep.
How many lawyers does it take to change a light bulb? None. They'd rather keep their clients in the dark. There are too many lawyer jokes to count. However, there are some lawyers with more noble intentions. At the Institute for Justice, we bring the light to our clients. We are a nonprofit public interest law firm with clear values and principles. At IJ, we fight for those whose most basic rights are denied by the government. Visit our website today at ij.org.
The LRN.FM social media channels have been revamped. We've eliminated Facebook and focused on other platforms like Twitter and Mastodon, the decentralized alternative to Twitter. On our accounts, you'll find posts from multiple LRN.FM show hosts together in one place. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.lrn.fm, or better yet, move to the decentralized Mastodon social media platform at toot.lrn.fm, toot.lrn.fm. I think you'll like it.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, "I didn't write it, I didn't approve it, I wasn't even consulted." If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizeDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizeDC.org.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com. There are lots of ways to listen to Free Talk Live. Our podcast has been around since podcasts began, and now the FTL feed is loaded with content besides our full show archives. Did you know that we make it easy for you to customize your podcast subscriptions? We have different feeds, one that includes only our full shows, one with just the Daily Digest, and our main feed that includes everything. You decide what you listen to. It's quick and easy to customize your feeds at feeds.freetalklive.com. That's feeds.freetalklive.com. Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this, right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it, and once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world, so I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here, and I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, connect with others via the forum at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.FM.
Whatever.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Don't need no stinking roads. All right, you guys pumped. Yeah, you pumped. You pumped it. Yeah, get your thing on. All right, it's going to be work though. We got stuff to do. We have I was supposed to get a new toilet in last night, and then they said, "Oh, we changed our mind. It's January 11th." I hate when they do that.
Yeah, I'd have basically said cancel the order, and I'd go out and bought it in town, even if I had to pay more for it. Screw Amazon. Tell you're going to have it, and you make plans, and then like, "Oh, sorry," and they tell you the day you're supposed to get it. Like, suck.
It's exactly what I wanted. You know, you shop online, you get it, and they push the button, and you kill it. You shoot it, you put it in the bag, you know. And then they I'm like, you sons of freaking whatever. But anyway, so we're, you know, stuff's got to happen. I am thinking, because I did order a bunch of solar. I got the connectors and stuff out there. Maybe we can go get some or something. I don't know if I need to get more plugs to be able to have some distance, you know, under the bus. Because it's made, I got another 400 and, 80 watts, I think, underneath there that I can, you know, kind of deploy. You're under the trees. You can put it out, you know, and stuff in case. Because, you know, you can angle it right.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, you know, and they're installing all this solar on RVs and stuff like that. I don't install it on my RV because I like to park my RV under the trees. And then I put my solar out in the field in the sun. Because if you park your RV in the sun, yeah, you get all kinds of solar energy, as well as thermal solar energy, and it's kind of self-defeating. Counter, yeah.
So, well, you know, I can do both.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what we're working on. But it's we do this activism. I'm telling you, you know, the biggest thing I'm seeing, all these people are, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and we do that. I'm going, yeah. Are you thinking about internet? Because you don't have community. I was watching one Starlink guy, and he was going, yeah, he's a YouTuber, and he goes, once a week I'd have to go into town, you know, find some, you know, Wi-Fi, whatever, and load and sit there and, you know, waste my day.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. And now I got 100, you know, megabytes per second up and down. Kind of, woo-hoo!
Did you stream today?
No, we didn't stream. Okay. We recorded the video, but we just do an audio. I'm not even trying. Because what happens is it changes. You know, it'll start off like we get like one up or two up or something. If it was steady, you know, you could probably do it, but then it chops down. But then your neighborhood wakes up and people, and it's done.
Yeah, because I say I checked it early this morning. We were like 1.7 up, but.
I whiz on your 1.7.
Yeah.
You know, and we have the cell boosters and all this. I mean, it just doesn't work. You know, it's not. That is a big, big thing that's going to make big, big changes. It's big, big happening, right? Big, big now.
Did you see some other satellite company is going after the FCC to reevaluate the environmental impact of Starlink?
Of course they do.
You know, we got to get government to change the gauge on the railroad because it's unfair that he's got such an advantage. You know, and that's what it's coming down to is they all know they're not. No one's going to catch him.
Yeah, we put that on. Yeah, that was a Freedom's Phoenix thing I put up. I saw that. You know, they're going, we need
it. Did you put it up? I didn't see it on there.
I sent it to somebody put up. I saw it. It was an environmental impact study of up in the something. I don't know what the hell they're talking. I didn't even look at it. Whatever. You know, they just come up with their BS. It's government, man.
Government.
It's all about the government, man. You know, this is going to change everything. And I'm, you know, and spaces. I mean, it's like. You know, here we had, if you had 40,000 satellites, just where I can see here, you can put them and you wouldn't even know where they were. Yeah. just in much less space up there. They go, oh my God, there's, I go, trust me, I can put 40,000 satellites just out where I can see on the land here and you wouldn't know where they were. You know, so I'm just, get over it. So it's, I mean, it's like, they put in a hit and I go, you know, you make your choices. But it's like, bullet hitting bullets.
Yeah, no, I'd say, you know, they got a plan. It's, yeah, if they start harassing him too much, like say, he'll move down to Belize or something, you know, they'll you can't tell me there's some other country. And what, you know, what gives the FCC the right to regulate the airspace over, you know, the middle of the Pacific Ocean? You know, it's like they believe they can because they got a bigger gun or something. It's, you know, that was like them, you know, Musk going, we're all going to go to Mars and we'll make up our own rules and we'll kind of do it. And they go, nah, we've already signed a treaty that says we own everything outside the planet's atmosphere. You know, and I was like, really? And yes, they have. They've told themselves, yes, we have jurisdiction on the rest of the universe.
I know. We signed a treaty of we rule humanity everywhere.
And the universe.
And I'm going... Well, tell me where that treaty is so I can freaking go ignore it or burn it or something.
I'm like,
you know?
Wow.
I got, you know, Elon's out here today. You going to go out? You going out in the desert, Elon, with Grandma? You going to go, you know, ATVing and stuff? Huh? Are you? Yes, you are going to have some fun. You know, they're going to, yeah, I get her. You know, I wanted her to be able to at least know where, you know, Grandma gets bit by a rattlesnake. She can. You know, make the ATV get back. You know, that's a gas pedal. That's a steering wheel. You ride your power wheel. I mean,
yeah. Since we're done this, I'll go out. I'll drag the side by side out and make sure it's all gassed up, and they can go explore for a while.
Yeah, that'd be fun. You get out here. You got to do it now before it gets too freaking hot, man. You know, see, that's one thing. When it starts to get hot, you know, it's like here it comes, the anvil, and then it starts to get cool about Halloween, and then. You know, the first thing I'm thinking is, what are you thinking when it starts getting cool in Halloween? What are you thinking?
All the stuff I need to get done.
You know what I'm thinking? I go, the heat is just around the corner.
Yeah. Well, no, it's
almost summer again, you know?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, you watch these shows, these people up homesteading in Alaska and all that, and as soon as the snow's done, I mean, what they're doing, they're chopping wood for the next winter. And it's kind of like that here. It's like as soon as the weather breaks, you're getting ready because, you know, you just know in 4 or 5 months you're going to be dealing with it again, and you got stuff to get done.
You know, a lot of times you get more stuff done in the summer. This is what I've noticed is going around the country and so on. In Arizona, when it cools off, man, I'm going to get... Well, by the time I get done with shows and do it, it's 1, 2 o'clock, and it gets dark, like 5, 6. You don't have that long to do anything, you know? And you don't have the long days, and the short days kind of eat into it, even though it's a nicer temperature. But when you're up in the northern latitudes, you know, you got... Man, it doesn't get dark until freaking 10 or something, you know? So you got long, mild days. You know, sometimes it's hot, you know, whatever, but... you got long days to deal with. You get some work done in the summer.
You just got
to
swat skeeters.
I hate the bug thing.
Yeah, that's I love Arizona. Other than the flies are kind of a pain.
Yeah, well, outside, yeah. But it's one thing about Arizona that I did to my sons when they went, you know, walkabout for like 6 weeks. They took my car and just went around the country when they graduated high school. And I go, oh, it's so green. Oh, it's pretty. All I go, I just want you to know. Just go outside in the afternoon, have a barbecue, camp, or whatever, and then notice the bugs. And then you're going to love you some Arizona.
Yeah.
Because, man, I hate the bugs. I mean, there's bugs, but it's not anywhere
near. And it's a little cyclical. You know, I come from New England originally, and, you know, it's right now it's a little cyclical, the intensity of the tick problem. And it's all, you know, Lyme disease and all this other crap going on up there. I mean, literally, you go outside and you're walking around, you better put your, you know, pants in your socks, and as soon as you come back in, you're, you know, going in the bathroom with a magnifying glass and a mirror, and you're looking for ticks because it's a problem. And, I mean, it's bad.
You know what that, you know, the worst thing out here is, like, scorpions.
Yeah, but, you know, I've been out here.
Brush them off.
I've been out here for as many years as I've been out here, and I've yet to have a scorpion problem. They're here. You go out with a black light, and you'll be like, whoa, they're here.
I've been out with your sons before, and they're black. Watch Ernie, and they go to every single creosote bushes. And with a black light, it looks like a Christmas tree.
Yeah. No, there's, but
now, Donna's been bitten by scorpions. God, how many times, Donna?
Seven.
Seven times? Damn, I didn't know it was that
many. Must be immune now.
You know, don't like it. But, I mean, it's not, like, fatal. I mean, some people it could be, but it's a definite 3-day thing.
Oh, it's a suck.
You know, you get, like, a nerve thing for a while. But, yeah, I put up with that, you know, but we have chickens. We start, ooh, I see some scorpions. No. Unleash the carnivores, yeah. You know, boom.
No, raptors, yeah, the scorpions don't stand a chance. Chickens clean them out pretty quick.
You know, it's kind of cool. They'll have one in their beak and the stingers going all around their eyeballs, and they don't give a shit. You know, just give me, scorpion, yummy. You know, if I was going to build, you know, the desert, I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, as hot as it is, as long as you got water and power and shade, you know, it's really pretty nice. The only time it's really bad is when it's over about 110 and between 10 and 4 in the afternoon. And that's really only about 8 weeks out of the year you even got to really worry about it.
Right.
The rest of the time, you mitigate it with shade or misting or whatever the hell. But it's usually like July, August, a little bit of September is when you got problems.
Yeah, it's like being up in the Northeast in the wintertime. You know, there's like 8-10 weeks where you're just in the house because it just sucks to be outside. It's cold, it's windy.
Sucks when you
got
bugs, too. I'm telling you, it's much more comfortable in the desert. You know, I asked Lawrence of Arabia. I remember in the movie they go, Lawrence Olivier, they said, you know, why do you like the desert so much? Because it's clean.
Yeah, really. So the sun sterilizes
right,
it.
It's all that UV stuff. You know, sterilizes my skin, too. Turned it red. Well, we're going to keep you guys informed what's going on, but it looks like we're on a roll. Arizona, where it always starts.
I'm grateful to have heard from some of our satellite listeners recently. I appreciate knowing people are out there who like what we do and are willing to support it financially. LRN.FM's free-to-air satellite feeds blanket most of 2 continents. It was my goal to put our channel there so people without internet could receive our programs and feed pirate radio stations. We started a fundraiser on Patreon a few years ago to back the satellite channels. I recently announced that I was